PFT Media.
Lima Criteria, we're talking about glasses. When did you find out you were blind, Mike?
It happened. Are we on? Yeah, we're on. We're recording?
There's no music.
It happened literally a year ago, man. It was so weird. I woke up from a bad dream and stood up and everything went blurry. And like I thought I was going blind because for a second everything was gone. And since then, you know, I went to the bathroom and eventually my eyesight came back. But all of a sudden, I was just that guy in restaurants, like holding menus out a little bit
further. From a distance,
And I asked people, what the, you know, was something majorly wrong, something going wrong? And they're like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 42. They're like, man, I'm surprised you lasted this long. Usually around 40 is when you start going. And like Dean Napolitano talks about it all the time. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, just one day you're fine. The next day you need fucking cheaters to read the Friday's
like
menu.
Like for me to read my cell phone, I'm doing the move of you take off your glasses.
Yep.
To look at this. It's so weird, dude. It's the weirdest
thing. I got this Cub Scout discount card that my kids were selling that gets me like money off at restaurants and stuff and places we go. And the writing on it is so fucking fine that I got to do that thing where I pretend like I'm being a good dad trying to teach my kids to read. And I like go, hey, why don't you look at this card and tell me what that says down there?
Hey,
look
we're going to teach you how look to read at, with
look
this.
Look at this shit. Look at that.
That card expired. Why do you still have that?
You know what? But the writing's so small, as long as the server's over 40, they can't see the expiration date. Very
smart move.
Damn, I threw my shit away.
The other day, we were at Ale House, and baby's mama told me this card expired. And I looked at my nine-year-old. I'm like, should we give it a try anyway? She's like, what are you teaching? I'm like, to survive. Yeah. And they came with the tab. And like, I just did this. I'm like, look, I told them we planned it out before you even came over.
I didn't know that happened with age. That you fucking lose your sight and your fucking dignity.
Because you've been blind since you were my dignity
since third grade. We're getting discounts now since I can't see.
We were here before 4 o'clock. We would like the 4 o'clock prices. But like I told my kid who's so fucking honest. I told him, I'm like, look, when they come over with the check, I'm not even gonna point out is this card still good. I'm just gonna hand him the card and the credit card. Don't say anything because you gotta assume it sometimes to pass it on. So I put the card. I hand him both the cards. And my 9 year old, as soon as he took the card, he just started busting out laughing in the weirdest maniacal way. And I'm like, he almost had snot coming out of his nose. I'm like, you were going to fucking blow this 10% off at the Ale House.
This is the youngest?
No, this is my 9 year old. The youngest was on board with it. He was stone faced, you know?
He's gangster.
And then the guy comes back. They gave me the 10%. And my 9 year old was like, oh my God, it worked. This is the greatest thing ever. And she's like, are you happy? Are you happy? I'm like, am I happy that I'm saving my son money and myself money and teaching him how the world works? Yeah. Because here's the thing, it costs Ale House nothing. They're just giving me the employee discount or whatever. Yeah. We go there all the time. And you know, what you care? You don't bring a dollar into this fucking household. Let me worry about how we spend the money. Oh, did it go there?
You said, I'm going to keep it real.
Market. This is my podcast. I don't edit shit.
This is usually 20 minute mark of the obligatory one.
I was
going to
say,
this rage.
Nothing new.
But you know what? I'm going to hang back. It's good to see you. How'd the show go tonight, man?
I think it went good.
Who'd you have on?
I went good. We got Alex. We got Kermit. We got Patrick.
Be honest, how Kermit do?
I don't fucking want to talk about stand-up.
Oh my gosh, it wasn't that.
I didn't see it, so I just kind of like, because he always tells me how great he did.
It's mediocre at best.
I don't believe him anytime he says, I kill.
I never say that, so don't worry about that.
Saturday, I destroyed in front of Russell Peters.
Okay.
Did ya?
I did not say that.
Did ya?
The only one who did well on Russell Peters is Russell Peters because he left with your fiance.
Lucky girl.
Lucky girl.
Give her the fucking freedom.
So we're going. He's got a microphone.
Alex, how long? Hold on. Let's keep on the fucking topic. I don't want to fucking make this.
Oh, I thought we were done.
Stand up fucking comedy podcast.
All right.
There's in Orlando. How long you been? You wear glasses for sight or is this for style?
Damn, that's a good question because they do look very good.
But, yeah. All right.
No, baby, I've been wearing baby seal over here. Go ahead.
Baby seal. Yeah. Goddamn. Third grade. around third the grade same, too? Same time. Yeah.
Are you blind as fuck?
Blind as fuck. I cannot operate a vehicle without glasses on.
Really? So you got that legally blind? I don't have that legally.
I don't have
blind
that legally thing. Blind thing either, but I think I need that.
Yeah.
So
if you take off
boat.
Your glasses, you can't read that restroom sign.
I mean, just by context, I know what's
going
on.
Yeah, you know what it is, but you can't.
I can't read it. I'm not reading.
I'm the same way.
I can't. Yeah. Where don't you? Do you have glasses or
contacts?
You got contacts.
Yeah, you've had that.
But when you fight, like,
it sucks. First of all, okay, time
it pops time out. It sucks.
Let's, because the reputation of
spar,
this guy
when
is starting.
When I spar.
Sparring
when
I spar.
Making it sound like it's just,
you want some of this shit right now? You want some of this shit?
I'll press charges. I'll press charges.
Go ahead. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
When you
That's
fight.
Right.
He doesn't fight.
I fight,
he takes hits.
I'm a man.
He holds mitts.
Hey, he holds mitts and he's
a mitts holder.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Okay. Respect. Respect.
All right.
What are you doing, man?
How many times have they come
out? He's taller than me.
Eyes.
I got to square up with him.
Yeah, he's sitting down and he's still taller than you.
Still taller.
True.
But let me go get you a couple of phone books, then you can talk some shit.
How many times?
Do the contacts just come out when you get hit in the face?
Oh, yeah. Not all the time. Not all the time. Mm-hmm. But it happens. It happens a lot. Yeah. So,
that's why when I used to like spar box and stuff like that, even with the headgear, you get hit and you blink hard, the fucking contact
it pops
moves.
Out.
So it got to the point that
shit hits the floor, it's done.
It's done.
So don't put it back in your eye.
I had to fight without glasses, and all I see is blurry shit. So I just got to be like, I just got to make sure that red-ass glove doesn't hit me in the face.
The red-ass glove. Kind of deal.
Patrick, you need glasses? Are you at that age that you need fucking vision work?
Is that like squinting a lot on stage?
No. Like all of us are somewhat blind in this circle. Do you need glasses? I know
like,
you're
at
not.
At night, sometimes I feel like hey, they could come in, like my friends. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Come on in.
Oh, holy shit.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, Bobby? How you doing?
Good to see you.
We got
pauses.
Nice to see you. No, we keep going.
We keep going. We'll fucking this is, out of this shit.
Yeah, sit down. You guys sit down.
Come over here. Hold my fucking bag open.
Just tell Shrek to move his feet.
Tell Shrek to move his feet.
This is my buddy Tyler.
Move anything you need to move.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, Pedro. Went to high school. This is my buddy Amit and his wife.
Mr. Amit.
What was your name again? Intasar.
Oh, this room's going to get hot as fuck.
What's your name again? Do you shorten that name into something? Do you go by Annie or some shit like that?
Star.
Yeah,
Star
that makes more sense. Yeah, because it's a fucking complex name to fucking.
Intasar.
What the fuck is that? Intergalactic?
They have to repeat themselves. What?
Where are you from, Intasar?
Morocco.
From Morocco?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Emeet, where you're from Morocco too?
Yeah.
You're from Canada?
Mystery meat?
Yeah.
Mystery meat. Yeah, you know, for a check or something like that?
Yeah, I gotta go pay my bill.
go ahead.
Just feel like handing off a baton. Here you go, man.
Yeah.
Continue the marathon.
So you need glasses now?
I don't.
At night,
sometimes I feel like I'll be driving and there'll be a curve. I'm like, oh, there's a curve here. But that's only at night. During the day, sometimes if it rains, my windshield gets all. Yeah. So I have to like take a fucking rag. But other than that, yeah. I mean, I'm alive still, so.
Yeah.
We almost killed.
I'm going to bring that up. Yeah. This is the first time I've performed with Pat, I would say, five years.
We performed together before that, though.
No, dude.
We did in Tallahassee one time where you came with me and opened.
No, that was when I first started. I did Tallahassee with you. Last time I performed with you was Cleveland New Year's Eve because after that trip, I said, I think I'm done doing this shit.
Oh, I remember.
We went up to Cleveland and I'm like, fuck, yeah, I get to fucking finally do a New Year's show. And I'm excited for it. It's like New Year's show. I always hear the fucking nightmares, but I'm like, I'm fucking for it. I'm going with Pat. I don't even have to close. Pat has to deal with these fucking idiots at the end. I just got to, you know, shuffle my feet and get out of there. We're driving up there and Pat is the type that once he starts driving, he doesn't stop. He does not stop. He's like laser in. I don't know if he has cocaine in his blood. But he's up. And we're listening to the Black Keys fucking album the whole fucking time.
I have to miss it.
I still got the length in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great song.
Great fucking song. And then I tend to fall asleep a lot. So I, once in a time, we'll talk, we'll have conversations. And I go, Pat, in your car. And this, he was driving a piece of shit car, too.
The 94 Honda Accord.
Yeah, which didn't go in reverse.
What?
Yeah, it didn't go in reverse. And yeah, it's a miracle we made it. But then I asked Pat, say, Pat, you're on the road a lot. What's the one thing you fear? Like, what's the one thing you fear and you hate? And he goes, I hate the fog. I hate the fog because you never know what's going to come out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you drive and stuff. So now we're going to Cleveland. We got to go through fucking Kentucky, mountains and shit like that. Pat's driving. And Pat, you know, cocaine in his blood. Multitasking, he'll text and stuff like that. I'm sleeping. And then in one, it just happened. I don't know how. I wake up and we're in the foggy part going to Kentucky, entering Cincinnati kind of deal.
Like that thick Stephen King fog.
Real thick. Wow. Like yeah. the movie The Mist.
The Mist,
thick.
Yeah.
And I wake up and it just happened that the fog went dark, then light, and then bright orange, and then there's a fucking semi truck sideways. Pat swerves, misses. There's a car fucking coming.
It was a car in the breakdown lane that was parked.
That was parked. Okay.
Yeah. So I had to do two swerves.
Two swerves.
Like an obstacle course.
At no point, any of us went or holy shit. We accepted we're going to hit something, we're going to die. We survived, and I swear on my children that the next thing that we do, we look at each other, and we just die laughing.
Because it was just quiet for like 15 seconds, and then Pedro goes, man, you handled that well.
I go, you know what the best part is? We accepted death.
Right.
Just, it was going to come out. And that made it funny. Because another thing about me and Pat, when I started doing comedy, when you do comedy, you go through up and down with depression and stuff. And I remember I was going in a depression mode. And I would either call Pat or I'll call Ricky or I'll call Ian. And this time I called Pat. We started talking about, you know, it'll be fucking cool. I perform on stage and somebody shoots me on stage. And that way, you know, he would have been so good.
Yeah.
And brought Tupac.
Yeah.
And then Pat goes, yeah, but then I'll do it after you and people forget your name, so I'll close. So they'll be like, hey, well, you go first. It's like, all right, you kill yourself first so I can follow.
Yeah, it's a lot better than fucking overdosing at a Econo Lodge somewhere in the middle of fucking.
This was the week that Greg Giraldo died. I think that's what we were fucking talking about it. Because a lot of comics were just overdosing and shit like that. But after that show in Cleveland, and the reason it was New Year's. We go to the buffet. And the whole count, the buffet? Buffet?
That's how you
say
buffet.
How you say it?
We're going to say buffet or
how
buffet?
You say it in English?
Buffet?
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 Like buff. Buffet.
Buff.
Buffet. Yeah. Okay, buffet.
Thank buffet. You.
If Pedro's like, I get more pussy when I say buffet.
Buffet.
I want to keep saying
it sounds
buffet.
French. Pussy. Yeah. Show me your pussy. Yeah. Yeah. So it's New Year's, and me and Pat are eating at the buffet. And 3, 2, 1, boom. And we're just eating a fucking like dry ass chicken wing or whatever it is. And I say to myself, what the fuck am I doing in Cleveland on New Year's Eve? I could have died. And I start thinking, I could have died in that fucking car. And then that's when I fucking said, you know what? I'm going to civilian mode. And then every time I say that I'm done doing comedy, then that's when the gigs start coming up. Yeah,
it's Al Pacino and Godfather. They pull me back in.
Pull me back in. It's like I don't want to do this no more.
Like women feasting or fasting. Right?
Yeah.
When you want it.
They don't show up.
There.
They disappear.
Or you don't give a fuck.
Go put the mic in your fucking mouth, Mike. But yeah, that was it. And then performing here, and it was cool. Fucking coming around, I drove my car, so I know I'll be okay.
Earlier we were talking about the Super Bowl.
Shit! Okay, so this is a good story. This is Pat has a.
Was this like 2014?
Yeah, Pat got a niche on headbutting motherfuckers.
What? Like,
that's his technique. His technique.
In the face, it's like
he doesn't want to hurt his writing. He doesn't want to hurt his writing hand, so he'll headbutt a motherfucker.
Nice,
out there. So I throw a Super Bowl party in my house. And me, who's Ricky, and Carmen I don't remember who the fuck was even playing.
Tom Dustin.
Carolina and Denver, probably.
No. It was Peyton Manning and the Seahawks when they got blown out.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. That was okay.
So my house is full. I got, professional wrestlers in my house. Not big names, but wrestlers that work the Florida circuit.
So bouncers.
No. Yeah, bouncers. Good call. I got bouncers in that. And then... I'm in the pool with Carmen and Ricky and Tom Dustin. Then Pat comes into the pool area, his shirt covered in blood. I'm like, what the fuck happened here? I just headbutted somebody. Not even hello. Not even hello. He just walked out. I just headbutted somebody. It's like, oh, fuck. Like, was it somebody in the party? No, some fucking homeless guy trying to break into my car. You leaving? No, I'm good. Hold on. Keep talking there, Pat. Tell the story.
So, anyways, my car at the time, the 94 Honda Accord, the one we almost died in on our way to Kentucky, have a good night. My car, my phone needed to be charged, but nobody had a charger, so I had to put it in my car, right? And my car at the time had this problem where the brake lights were fucking stuck on. And since it's Super Bowl Sunday, I can't take it anywhere, and they just had to stay on. So I'm parked a little ways down the street from Pedro's house. And the way Pedro had a house set up, like, there was the inside Super Bowl party where he was watching in the living room. Then he had another TV out on his canopy, and everybody was outside on his driveway watching on the canopy. So I'm going back to my check on my phone, make sure it's charged up all right, and I see this dude beelining right towards my car. He's got one of those roll-away luggage things. Like, it's fucking Super Bowl Sunday. It's not even halftime. This guy's just like
about
going
to catch a flight.
It's a good time to fucking break into people's cars because all the cars are lined up. You get a bunch at once. So he doesn't see me, like, across the street, like, standing on the sidewalk. He looks down at the party. You can see everybody hanging out. So he's looking at the party, looks at my car, and starts going like this, like, looking through the window, like, seeing what's inside the car. And then he looks back at the party, and then he goes to open the door. And that's when I'm like, hey, can I help you? And he's like, oh, yeah, your taillights are stuck on. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware. You know, I'm like, yeah, fucking. He's like, oh, I could have fixed them. I go, oh, you don't even know what's wrong with this. Is that what you're doing? You're like just walking around the neighborhood fixing people's cars. It's like, fucking, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Traveling mechanic.
Then he goes, what are you accusing me of? I go, I'm accusing you of being somebody I don't fucking know looking in my car about to open the fucking door for whatever. He's like, oh, I could have fixed it, whatever. I'm like, I'm getting in my car to grab my phone. I go, dude, you just need to go. He goes, whatever, asshole. I go, what the fuck you just say? And he turns around and he goes, you heard me. And then I walk up to him, and now he's like a forearm's length away from me. Like, he's a good little space away from me. And I go, you should fucking leave before I do something. He goes, you want to do something? I go, do you want me to do something? And then he fucking lets go of his luggage and squares up. You know, he's like... So I just take a step towards him, and I cock my head back, and I headbutt this motherfucker right on the brake, like it was textbook, like got my neck Beautiful. Into it, got my back into it, like fucking my big-ass forehead right onto the bridge of his nose, and immediately I step back. Now my bell's rung. Like, I'm like, all right, now I'm ready to go. Like, his nose just starts
Another
bleeding.
Concussion.
Yeah, his nose just starts bleeding like a faucet, like immediately down his face. And I'm like, you want to get fucked up? And he goes, nope. And he grabs his fucking... Because he can't even see. He's just like, his eyes are watering. And he's just like, you know, so he just turns around and walks away. And I'm like kind of laughing to myself. You know, I'm just like, oh, you dumb fuck. So then so I grab my phone. I go back to Pedro's house. I'm like, well, I got my headbutt of 2014 out of the way.
Yeah. Now you think the story ends there. No. So the party's over.
Okay.
Everybody's leaving the house. Patrick left.
I'm with Ricky and Tom Dustin.
The wrestlers are in the front, and there's like a commotion. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, no.
The guy came back with a rebar looking for Patrick.
Oh.
So the wrestler guys kind of like chase him down the block. So I call the cops. Mm-hmm. Cops don't fucking show up. And I go, guys.
Lima. Nah, they can wait.
What's his first name?
Where's the address? It's in the barrio?
So I took the guys waited there for a while. It's like midnight. I go, go ahead. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine and stuff. So he leaves. And then something told me, go around this neighborhood because this motherfucker's walking around with a rebar. He's probably waiting. So I drive around with my wife, and then Lisa goes inside. I stay in the car, and then I look at the rearview mirror, and this motherfucker's standing like Michael Myers across the street holding something on his hand. And I'm like, fuck. I call the cops. If I go inside, he's either going to smash the cars or do something stupid. I got my two young kids in here. Mm. I guess it's my turn to get into a fight. So I go out there. I go, hey, buddy, you all right? And he goes, I'm okay. How about you? And I'm like, no, are you okay? It's like, I'm fine. Why are you asking? Well, because I see that you got blood on your T-shirt, and I heard that you got into an altercation with somebody, and you showed up with a rebar. And now you're holding my neighbor's conch from her garden like you're going to do something. So I need to know, are you going to do something? Because I got little kids in there. Mm. So if you want to call the cops, it's like, yeah, some guy headbutted me. It's like, I don't know who that dude is. It's just me, my wife, and my two kids. If you want to call the cops, we call the cops. You know, they'll be here. And I'm still hoping, please, fucking cops, come on. Nothing. It was, no, everything's good. Thanks for talking to me and stuff like that. The guy's shirt looked like, what is it, Andrew W.K. fucking album?
Oh, yeah, that is the bloody mess. The
bloody
yeah.
shirt like yeah. that. Dude, like this motherfucker.
ECW.
it was red, like a bright fucking red. Nice. And it's like, he goes, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I was like, are you sure you need me to call the cops? I kept throwing the cops in and go, no. Then he went away. I'm like, all right, good. I go back inside. It's like, babe, everything's taken care of. All right, we're going to sleep. Finally go to sleep. My cell phone rings. The police are outside.
Of course.
How much?
1:30 in the morning.
And you called them when?
At 11:30.
Sounds about right.
So 1:30 in the morning, those fucking guys come on. It's like, oh, all right. So I go outside. And he has a kid doing like one of those like college students when they do like a drive around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing. So this motherfucker decides to give me an after school special speech. About, he goes, what happened? Oh, yeah, this transient came in here and, you know, he got into an altercation with somebody at my party and you know, just everything's okay. It's like, oh, do you know this person? It's like, no, I don't know who it is. Well, sir, you should not invite people that you don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Into the house. And that's when I fucking lost it. It's like, well, motherfucker, you could have showed up here 2 hours ago when I said the guy had a fucking rebar. And he's threatening to damage my property. You're coming at two hours later to give me a speech? Get the fuck out of here.
He probably thought you meant the pie.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you came with a protein? Yeah. Came with a protein yeah. bar?
The yeah. strawberry? Yeah. Some cool
yeah. whip? Yeah, dude.
Vez was like, because I was in the car with Ricky and our other buddy, Tom Dustin. And Tom was to the point where he thought I was making it up. He was like, you didn't. He's from Boston. He's like, you didn't fucking headbutt anybody. You're fucking full of shit.
Great Tom.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, nah, you fucking didn't do that. And meanwhile, I got a knot on my forehead. Like, from it. And then Pedro calls. And he was like, so apparently the fucking guy come back. he had a fucking conk in his hand that I'm assuming was going through my fucking windshield at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm laughing.
And these motherfuckers are dying laughing.
I'm like, Ricky's, our buddy Ricky's laughing. Ricky goes, oh yeah, probably. Sure, he got a weapon.
Oh, that's dangerous.
He goes, he probably went back to a gas station, looked in the mirror, saw how fucked up his face was, and tried to rip tree branches off to fuck you up. You know, it was just like...
Oh, it's so funny, man. I was like, but yeah. I mean, yeah, the guy's breaking into cars. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he could have left. He didn't have to turn around.
Yeah.
You know, he caught it. He caught a nice fucking fresh headbutt to the face.
So that was a bad experience with a homeless guy. But I think before I even met you, you were legendary because you had to run in with a homeless dude in Miami. When you lost your car keys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Just a track record.
Yeah.
No, this was a good experience.
This is good.
This is
fear factor.
God, I had to be like, I think I was like 20. And again, I was like 23, 24 at the time. And I get a phone call from the Miami Improv. They're like, yo, can you come close out the show tonight? We got a fallout. I'm like, okay. And it's 4 hours from Orlando to Miami. And I'm like, it's 3:30. And they're like, yeah. I go, the show starts at 8:00. They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So I just fucking throw on shoes and a hat and I fucking drive on down there. And I'm rushing. You know, I'm in a total fucking rush. So I'm looking for parking. This is the old Miami Improv down at Coconut Grove. So then I finally find this parking lot and I'm like trying to grab the fucking DVDs I was selling at the time after the show. And I put my keys on my lap and I open the door to get out of the car and I stand up. The fucking keys go straight down a storm drain. Like there was like they didn't even hit the fucking sides. It was just nothing but sploosh, just fucking water.
Perfect.
And I was just like,
perfect.
I'm like, God, fucking
dude,
damn it.
Perfect.
It was like, yeah, yeah. It was just like one of those shot, like fucking, they didn't even hit the sides of it. So then I'm like, now I'm stressed out. I go to the show and I go to the manager. Like I'm doing this whole set. I'm a fucking upset. And then I go to the manager. I'm like, hey man, I need a trash some trash bags. And like a fucking flashlight. He's like, what do you need that for? I'm like, oh, I dropped my keys down the storm drain. So now I'm going to put the fucking trash bags on me. It's like a homemade hazard suit so I can hop down there. And I take the flashlight so I can go. He goes, oh, fuck. And he hands me some trash bags and a flashlight. He's like, all right, good luck, buddy. And I'm like, God damn it. And this is my first time ever meeting Dave Williamson. Dave Williamson's a great comic out of South Florida. He was like hosting the show at the time.
He's touring with Bert Kreischer nowadays.
Touring
right?
with Bert Kreischer. Yeah. Right. So I go to Dave is like, this is going to be hilarious. So he grabs his video camera because he wants to film it. And then so we're walking back towards the car. We end up walking past this homeless dude. He's like, hey, man, you got any change? And immediately I'm like, as a matter of fact, I do.
Oh, I met the one guy. That's yeah, great.
Yeah. I go, I'm in a little bit of predicament. So it's like, what happened? And I dropped my keys on a storm drain. I need somebody to go down and get it. We're gonna play like a little episode of Hobo Double Dare. I fucking hop down there, go grab my keys. So then I lift.
Like, how much? Tell me, how much did you give him for that?
Right. Here's the thing. He goes, how much? I go, $25.
Wow.
This dude would have done it for like $8. But I would have paid like $75. Right, that's how much that's like.
So you thought you were starting low.
Yeah. Right.
And he just went, fucking, yes.
Yeah, oh, he was like a homeless dude Rockefeller. Yeah.
Anytime you can make
bucks.
A win-win deal.
Yeah. He's like, what do you gotta do? So we go back to the storm drain and I'm lifting this fucking thing up off the ground. And
Hulk strength.
Yeah. So I pull this storm, it's heavy as shit. And then he starts taking off his slippers, right? And he's rolling up his sweatpants. I'm like, hey, buddy, I got some trash bags. You want to throw them on, you know? So everything. He goes, let me try them without them first. I was like, all right. I don't know how much sense it makes in putting your feet in trash bags after you dipped them in shit, but yeah, whatever.
Those sewer rats are so scared of my hepatitis. Don't worry.
Yeah. Fucking. So he jumps down. He finds him like almost immediately. He's like, I got him. I'm like, all right. So I'm pulling this dude out of the fucking storm drain. And he's like, oh my God, it smells like shit. And I'm like, man, I don't think that's like shit. I think that is shit. Like, I don't think you're standing waist deep and I can't believe it's not shit. Like fucking. So I pull him out of this thing. And I go, dude, thanks for grabbing my keys. He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, my name's Magic, M-A-J-I-K, which is with the J. Fucking spell this shit.
So in case you need me.
Yeah, if you ever need me again, I'll be right over there. It's like a fucking homeless superhero, right? So then I go to put the lid back on the storm drain. It slips out of my hands, and the lid falls all the way down the storm drain because it was like rectangular,
yeah.
You know, so it wasn't, you know, like a manhole where it's supposed to be circular. So this fucking thing just falls. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then I think it was Dave just goes, just leave it.
Yep.
I go, just leave it. I go, bro, this isn't a parking spot. Like, somebody's going to get out of their car and be like Wile E. Coyote. Like, we're going to get somebody. They're like, dude, we're going to get so many bitches. Fucking fall down this fucking thing. You know, and they're going to fucking Sploosh. Die, you know? So I was like, I gotta tell. Like, so I went and found some cops. And I was like, yo, there's a storm drain here. It slipped out of my hands. And they're like, they just put some parking cones around. And they're like, ah, fuck it. We're done. And I was like, yep, I'm done. If you put fucking parking cones around it.
It would have been credit magic. Would have been, you think 25 more?
Yeah.
25
yeah,
more?
Like,
that's where it was
like,
going.
25 is just for keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
Patrick's like, no, that don't even belong to me.
Yeah. So I told the guy that was doing the radio, the parking lot attendant, I was like, hey, man, he was pissed. I was like, yo, there's this homeless dude right over there, man. He'll fucking go fetch it for you. No problemo.
And you know what's funny about that Miami Improv? I did it once and late show, because the late show there doesn't end a regular
back when it was
show.
At Coconut Grove,
yeah, Coconut Grove. Okay. It ends like at 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning,
yeah,
right, because it started late.
They would do three shows on a Saturday,
right?
Show.
So the we started talking about tasers and stuff like that, and then one of the cooks or one of the guys in the kitchen goes, yeah, I could take a taser thing. So we convinced the cop that was patrolling there.
Nice. Didn't take much.
Be like, yo, can you shoot him with the taser? He goes, yeah.
What, are you super like, troopers?
Yeah. He goes,
I'm always up for the taser challenge.
Yeah, I can do it. But then he was clear. He goes, I can do it once because I can 86 that one.
Right.
If I do it twice, I really got to write a report.
They'll know something's up. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes, all right.
The guys on PCP
or
some
shit.
Let's
see what this does.
We're talking about the ones that shoot with the prongs.
Yeah.
And go into the skin.
Yeah, the harpoons.
Yeah. The harpoons.
Yeah.
So he take it?
He took it, and I've never seen somebody go from relax to starch. And then, you know, you can't, because if you touch him while that thing's going, you're going
to
get shot.
Yeah.
So you just let him fall. You just got to hope that his head doesn't hit his thing, so you want to keep your foot, like, you know, calculate that his skull doesn't hit the concrete. But I was just surprised how lax the police department is,
man,
in Miami.
I wish I could have seen the look on that guy's face, because, you know, it's like, yeah, man, if you get the cop to do it, of course I'll do it. I'm a fucking man. And then when the cop's like, yeah, sure, the guy's like, oh fuck, I got to go through it. You're a cop, man. You can't do this.
Everybody was out there just waiting. He's like, yeah, we're going to see a body.
So how long did he pull the trigger for when he hit him?
No, I think you hold it for like 3-4 seconds, not long.
All
you can't
cops,
hold it long.
All cops have to get tased during training,
yes, right.
So they know what it feels like. But if you watch those training videos, they get hit, and as soon as they get hit, they release the gun and everything else. That being said, every cop tasing someone video I've seen, they tase them and they're still holding the trigger.
Oh, it's so great.
While the guy's
stop
resisting.
I like it when they run. I like it when they run and they get tasered and they just.
There was that video of that girl who was outside like the police station, and for some reason she was there for a parking ticket and she got lippy and they tased her. They tasered her. But, you know, it's one thing to get tasered. Yeah, it's going to suck. But when they tasered her, she fell backwards off the sidewalk and hit her face smack on one of those parking things. So it wasn't just like you got shocked and went down. It's like you now have
a
broken
back.
It's funny if they had like ranks on the tase, like how many volts, like Lippy.
Yeah.
That's like the body. That's like what it is. It's all Lippy.
Lippy.
Like that's,
No, I hit her with it.
Lippy,
but it was
Mouthy, Cunty.
Yeah.
She would have had bad luck if they had shot her.
Cunty's like the car battery they use in Lethal Weapon. When the Asian guy puts the sponges, it gives you a sponge back.
Some of my favorite stories about the Miami Improv, one of them was from Fort Shaw. He was like, yeah, it was Tommy Davidson was headlining, and he opens the green room, and O.J. Simpson is in the green room, and he's like passed out, and there's this white chick like sitting on the couch. She's like, I know, crazy, right? it's O.J. Simpson. Like,
crazy, I still got my head.
Right?
So crazy.
I don't know if this story is true, and I've always meant to ask you, and I forget when I see you. But I think if it's true, you pulled off the one thing that a lot of us, I know you didn't want to make this about stand-up comedy,
no, but
this story itself, yeah, it's too late. This story is one of those, you know, a lot of clubs do that thing where if you work our club, you can't work this club, you know, when you come into town. And there was a new club opening up down in like Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale called National Lampoon's Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we were told by all the South Florida improvs, like, hey, you're improv comics. Like, you don't book me enough, you know? Yeah.
How about but you open 52 comics. Rooms so and I'll work this is, all those rooms?
This is what here's the list of rooms you can't work if you want to work for us. I'm like, well, you just listed 52 places and you own three, you know? So right. It's a math thing. It's not a loyalty thing. But I don't know if this is true, and I meant to ask you. I heard you were booked at National Lampoon's like opening weekend, and the South Florida people called you up and said, hey, we've always considered you an improv comic. Why are you working over there? And you're like, because they asked me to. And yeah. Then they're like, well, we would prefer if you didn't. And you're like, well, if you want to pay me for this weekend, I won't go down there and
they
work
did.
That club.
They paid me.
And they fucking paid you. Is
they
that
paid
true?
Me. That, was 100%
that is
true.
The comic street. Yeah. You know, Miguel Colon says this great thing. He's like, every time he goes to a booker, it's like, hey, I see you're working at my competition next month, like some club that's like two towns over. He's like, bitch, you just had me on a show with two of my competition. You know, clubs don't see it like that. They always say, oh, you belong to us. We book you twice a year. Yeah. You know, in the meantime, you book how many comics a year and you only book me twice? Who's fucking over who here?
Yeah. Right. So anyway, the with the Miami Improv, though, so O.J. Simpson's in the fucking green room. And then this chick is like, I know, it's O.J. Simpson, right? And then so Tommy Davis at the time would do this bit, like he would close on it. It was like he would do the Spanish channel. And he would just like speak Spanish gibberish, like, O.J. Simpson. So he does that. Fucking O.J. Simpson opens the green room door, because that's how the green room door goes directly from the green room to the stage. So he opens the door with a fucking knife in his hand.
No!
Like behind fucking Tommy Davidson. And then literally everybody in the audience was mortified.
They're holy
like,
shit.
Is that fucking O.J. Simpson? And like a couple of people were like nervously like, ha ha ha.
With
like
a knife.
And O.J.'s like, this is funny, right? Yeah, this is like, hilarious.
He's got a drink in the other hand.
Time out.
Like,
time out. Pre? No, post. Yeah, post.
It wasn't foreshadowing. Yeah. It was after.
Yeah. Would have been 14 years old at the time. The fucking,
yeah.
You know. That would have came up at trial. You know, we thought something was suspicious. We were in Miami once, and he came out of the thing with a knife.
Did he time travel?
Right, so he goes out there, and then people were just, it was the way he described it is fucking hysterical. Like, people were mortified. Another time was Gary Valentine, fucking Kevin James's brother, right? So he's doing the late show. So there's three shows. There's like the 8 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, and the midnight show. But the midnight show in Miami doesn't start till like fucking 1:30 a.m. Yeah, because everybody, you know, it's Miami. So he's on stage, he's doing his set, and these guys are all coked up in the back, and they're fucking getting loud. He's like, "You guys want to shut the fuck up?" Like, he's getting frustrated. So then they start yelling back at him, and then the security goes over there to tell him to shut the fuck up. They hit the security guy with a chair, and then they fucking hit this guy. They're like, "Fuck you!" And they start screaming at Gary Valentine. He's like, "Fuck you!" And then they fucking charge the stage to get Gary Valentine. He runs back through the green room. They chase him through the green room, and then if you make a right from the green room, now you're in a hallway, and then you make your first left, and now you're in the kitchen. They chase him all the way back into the kitchen, and Gary Valentine grabs the knife. He's like, "You motherfuckers want to go?" And like, and this is fucking like, this is like, now he's got a fucking knife and shit.
He's got issues, man. You guys remember? Did you work Belly Busters?
I remember. Is this the story about the cell phone?
Yeah, man. It was me, Eric Myers, Karen Vallone. We go check out Brian Bradley's opening for Gary Valentine. So we go check out Brian, and we're like, "Oh, Kevin James' brother, we'll stick around." iPhones had just come out. We're talking like 2008, 2009.
Yeah, brand new.
So Gary Valentine's on stage. The show's not going well. You remember that room? It's a rowdy fucking crowd. Anyways, Gary Valentine's like three jokes in, and he noticed someone's recording him. And he just looks. He's like, "Hey, man, what are you doing there?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just recording you." He's like, "Oh, you're just recording me? Is that those new iPhones?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, man, I've been meaning to get one of those for myself. Can I see the video quality?"
My God.
Takes it, throws it on the ground, stomps on it. It's in a rubber case. He's like, no, I figured out how to work this thing. Pulls off the rubber case, smashes it again. He's like, "Fuck you all." And
oh,
I'm just
gosh.
Like, this is the best show I've ever seen. And dude, he was just crazy, man.
Bro, I was over there for Joe Coy. And I was featured for him. And this is at the Fort Lauderdale Improv. And, you know, he's like on stage. And I'm just standing like against the wall, like along the wall, watching him on stage. And then somebody starts recording him from the audience. And while he's on stage, he looks over at me and he goes, Patrick, come here. And I'm like, I'm like walking up to the stage. I'm like, what's up? And he's like, fucking, and he's like, Michael V goes, yeah, this person back there is recording me. Go grab their phone for me. I'm like, hey, yeah, I don't fucking work here. Like, grab somebody's fucking cell phone off them.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking audacity that he had. Like, I'm just going to go, like, I'm his fucking assistant. Like, I'm just going to run and grab somebody's fucking phone.
They got
like,
people for that.
I'll go tell somebody that they have
with authority.
Phone. Yeah. Like, somebody that fucking works here. That they have, I'm a fucking.
Grab his cell phone.
Yeah, go grab his cell phone.
Yeah, I'm not taking a charge for
you. I was gonna,
Joe Coy.
Hey, I don't know if you remember. I was opening for.
Quite easily just looked over and said, "Hey man, can you put your cell phone down?" Right. It would have been taken care
of. Yeah, yeah. Like,
let me stop the show. Call the feature.
Yeah. I'll go grab that guy's cell phone.
So like, that was your last weekend with Joe Coy.
Yeah, I never worked.
I mean, where's Mike Charette? He will grab a fucking cell phone for me.
The guy's got him in a fucking chokehold. Like, give me your fucking cell phone, you piece of shit. Yeah, I couldn't believe he asked me to do that.
Look, I got this guy in Miami named Magic. Anything you need. Yeah. $25
$25
That's take him on the road with you, Joe. He'll love you.
Right? Oh, that's unbelievable.
No. Pat also, people think that I burn bridges.
Yeah. I learned from you.
Pat is the maestro.
Brian's when Ocala, it comes to this.
There was a room in Ocala. Mm-hmm. And I forgot what the beef was. There was an email out there, and Patrick wished him ball cancer.
That's how I signed it.
Like very grab, like
dying of ball cancer. Yeah.
Like it was great. It was like you read it. It's like the crescendo to the fucking ball cancer. It's like,
so
the Shakespeare of it.
He's opening a club in Ocala, right? Mm-hmm. So and then he's like headlining dudes that are at my level, like if I hit, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I hit him up. I'm like, hey, man, like, you know, I'll come up there and do a guest set. Mm-hmm. Right. So I drive all the way to fucking Ocala, which is what, like 2 hours away? Yep. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I have 2 hours to do a fucking guest set. Right. He's got two shows. There's literally 11 people for the first show. There's some blind dude headlining, literally a blind guy that sells T-shirts in Braille after the show. That's what he sells.
As a merch guy, I like.
Yeah, I think Nikki Glaser was opening,
she was featuring.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Michael Malone was hosting.
Okay,
right. Yeah. So I go up there. I'm doing a guest set in front of 11 people. I get 3 applause breaks. Like I do really well.
That's great.
And then the second show, I go, hey man, do you want me to do another set? Like I'll do New Joe's. And then he goes, oh, you kind of blew out the headliner the first set, because he put me on after Nikki and then before the headliner. Like,
weird,
right? So. And then I'm like, so I do another guest set. I do a good, you know, have another great set.
You want me to go softer?
Want 70%?
Right. You know, I'm doing all these, you know, people that could see jokes.
The ADA doesn't care for that.
So he goes, yeah, I'll definitely book you. Mm-hmm. And then I send him an email. I'm like, hey man, you know, you got this thing. He's like, I'm having a little. Trying to stay above water, blah blah blah, and it goes, how about any named a date that was like 8 months away? I was like 8 months out, and I was like, okay, sure, yeah, I'm not doing anything. Then he goes, okay, cool. I go, yo, can I bring a feature? He goes, oh, I had you as the feature.
Buried the headline.
Right, I go, hey, I didn't drive 2 hours to do a fucking guest set to feel like if I wanted a feature for you, I would have just fucking.
And you're already headlining other places.
Right. I'm headlining other places, right? And he goes, yeah, this is probably you fucking hacks. Like he called me a fucking hack and this and that shit. And I was like, bro, I was like, the only reason I'm trying to get a date with you is before you sink like the fucking Titanic. It's like everybody's laughing at you that you're opening a fucking Wednesday through Saturday in a club that can barely support a one-nighter.
Yeah.
I was like, I was just trying to get some money off you before you fucking crash and burn, whatever. And then I was like, I hope you get ball cancer like at the end or whatever. Right. And then I was so close. Like, less than a year later, he was out of business. Yeah. His club closed. I was like, so close to emailing. I'm going to go, hey, man, you want to check your balls? Because one of my wishes just came true.
I'm not Nostradamus, but something's about.
You're nuts checked, you fucking cunt.
And I got the Chiefs for the Super Bowl. If you put money down.
Alex, you're the youngest one doing stand-up here.
And the blackest.
And the blackest, by the way. Good pointing out, Mike.
Thank you. It's what I'm here for.
Your glasses are working for
you. How do you form?
I can smell you.
You're 4 years in, so you got nothing but vets. I got to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. You got anything you want to ask? Feel free. Knock it out.
Nah, he's like, I'm funnier than all of you.
Because
that's how we work.
Any questions, doubts, concerns.
Doubts, concerns. You mentioned a lot of names there. You mentioned a lot of names and names I recognize and see now. I'm just like, so what is that? Where is this marker? Or where does it start to happen where it's just like people start pulling off into like that level, another level?
Yeah, dude, it's that's on you, man. Like, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter, like, you know, how much experience you got. All that matters is how many fucking followers you got. Damn. You know, like, what's his name? This kid named Andrew Rivers had a funny fucking post. He's this kid out of North. He's in the Northwest. And he got one of those dry bar specials, you know, and he goes, congratulations to all my fellow comedians getting those dry bar specials that are accumulating millions and millions of views just to have a club owner tell you that they're going to book Jeremy Piven. Fucking accurate, you know, like, because if you, like, not that he gets Jeremy Piven, but if you go pay money to see Jeremy Piven, you're paying to see an apprentice. Mm-hmm. Like, you're paying to see Michael Jordan play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a huge, and Jeremy Piven is not the Michael Jordan of fucking acting.
You know what I laugh? I laugh. J.B. Bo was booked here, and he got booked, he got bumped by a chick that reviews, like, lip glosses and lipstick and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I was laughing so hard.
It's all
did
about,
she fill up
and
the club?
I don't fucking know. I just started berating JB. It's like, motherfucker, you got bumped by a lipstick girl. Well,
what's his name? That guy, JP Sears, you know, who does all of his viral. He's got, like, 2 million followers or whatever, but he tried to do stand-up, and it was just a very different fucking thing between doing, like, a three-minute video that goes viral compared to 45 fucking minutes on stage by yourself to capture captivate an entire fucking room full of people, which, funny to this person, might be offensive to this person and vice versa. Yeah. And then you make a whole fucking room of strangers laugh at some shit that you thought of. Mm-hmm. Like, that's magic, man. You're fucking getting everybody to connect and fucking laugh and have a good time at the same time. Yeah. And it's like, but like I said, that doesn't. What matters is how many followers you got, and that's building a following. That's you gotta figure out a way, man. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not one of these big selfie people. That's why I started having people fucking sign my car and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, my people signing my car gives me the attention I need without having me talk like I'm fucking Kanye West. Right. You know, or I have to be like, fuck how great
you're just
I am.
So Yeezys.
You know?
Yeah.
So you just gotta figure out your path, and then like. And just do it, because it's just like you can't just be funny anymore. Like, I talked about this in one of my videos I first started. I was like, you know, like, The Tonight Show was a great credit back in 1987 when there were six fucking channels at the time, and people were watching, half the population was watching. The Tonight Show now might as well be a grain of sand on the fucking beach. You got The Tonight Show, you got The Late Show, you got Comedy Central, you got Netflix, you got...
But kids nowadays, they don't watch that shit. They want to know what's on YouTube. Right. Oh, this person on YouTube is going to be there. I want tickets.
On Instagram.
I want tickets and stuff
how
like
many
that.
Fucking
but you also
got
to figure out what your definition of making it is going to be.
Mm. Right.
Because it's the window is so small, and it's not only talent, it's also the opportunity and that fucking luck, because you could fucking be on a nice run where you're performing with A-list and you're like, okay, boom. Right. I'll ride this, and then it's going to happen, and then...
And then they have a kid, and then you're done.
Or they start dating a girl, and they decide the girl can open for them and do comedy.
She's doing your jokes.
But I've said it before. I kind of feel like we all came up as... We're like the middle children of comedy, because everything we were taught about how to make it in our generation is out the fucking window.
I started back when you just needed to be funny.
Yeah, like, and that was
like,
enough.
Like, you just, you're funny here, and then other comics will get you work. They go, "There, you got to check this guy out." And then like, that was awesome.
And it was that whole thing of when online, don't put your stuff online because some comics are going to steal your shit. And now it's all about content.
Right.
Put out every
day. Well, at least now there's a date too when you put it on. Like, I put this in October, motherfucker. Yep. I got you before here.
And before it was like, take every gig across the country, no matter how shitty, because that's how you build your fan base. And then you got people like Bo Burnham, who never left his living room and was selling out the shows. Yeah. And you see his first special, someone actually heckles him in the first special, and he doesn't know how to deal with a heckler. He goes, "Hey, man, a lot of people pay money to be here tonight. If you could just keep it down, maybe." Because he's never had to come up and learn how to deal with that.
Right.
Yeah. He stops playing. He's like, "Hey, man, it's really not cool for you to be talking. A lot of people pay money." You know?
It's a plant. Those people go out there to see him. But he knows that. He does. His specials are very good, though.
They are now.
They are now. Yeah.
I think his first couple, he was still learning because he didn't have the experience.
But that's the thing. He didn't.
He had to learn in front of people.
He didn't. His lane was in the stand-up world.
No,
his lane
parody-ish.
Was like, I'm just going to, this is what I'm going to do. And he didn't give a shit if you liked it or not. Mm.
Right.
He just, and that was his lane, and that's how, but we also got to be, and it sucks, but we got to be realistic about it too, is that the club needs to make money.
Right. Asses and seats, man. That's why you
that's
fucking.
That's all it is.
Because we can't be selfish and be like, oh, but I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. But then the servers are going to be pissed at you because they're like, fuck, I only made 17 bucks.
But you know what else too? Like every time we have this conversation a lot, and every time it's one of those things where it's like, man, these kids today, they just know how to use the internet. They know how to use all these social media platforms. And someone told me once, he's like, okay, but you got like 10 years club experience. You could learn everything they know about the internet in 6 months if you fucking wanted to. Right. But I saw you a year ago and you were bitching about the same thing. Right. He's like, it's still going to take them 10 years to get club experience. He's like, so get off your ass, learn how to do what they're doing. If you think that's the only thing holding you back from getting more work, right, then you fucking do it. And he's right. And then I'm lazy. That's
I drive fucking 12 hours. And let me go ahead and edit another video for fucking 8
hours.
That's
why you get someone like Kermit. Tell me he's funny. He does all the work for you. You're so pretty. Who's a pretty little baby? Yeah, you are.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just like, yeah, you just get it because, like I said, it's not just about being a comic anymore. It's about your brand. Like, you have to have a whole fucking brand.
I will say, you're doing something, and I got to sign up for it. But you're doing something that when I saw it, I was like, man, that's fucking genius. And I hope it works out for you.
So my idea is it's like one of the cool things you talked about Bert Kreischer earlier this year. So my buddy Dave Williamson is opening up for him. And so Bert Kreischer is literally on a tour bus with his fucking name on it and everything. So I met up with him in fucking Nebraska. And I parked my car right in front of his tour bus so you can see the fucking struggle bus. what the fucking finish line looks like. And, you know, Bert signed my car and everything. Like, after every show, everybody signed my car. And he was, like, really cool about it. He was like, hey, man, you know, you never know about this business. Like, he's like, 5 years ago, nobody knew who the fuck I was or it was going on. And I'm looking at the tour bus. I'm like, that's such a great thing to have. Like, that's the finish line. So my whole idea, you know, there's people making $150,000 a month just from their Patreons. So my whole idea is I'm going to get 100,000 followers, everybody subscribing for just $1 to the Patreon. So that's 100,000 minus 10,000 because Patreon gets 10%. Now that's 90,000. But my tour, like I've been doing for the past 11 years.
Never ending tour
around the country, right? Each month that I'm on tour, which is all of them, I'm going to bring 3 comedians with me on the road and pay each one of them $25,000.
Holy shit.
Right. So that's what I want. I want to be able to, like, because comedians, more than like, not all of us are trying to be Eddie Murphy or Dave Chappelle. We just want to fucking pay our bills.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're not all trying to be fucking like super famous. And so, like, there's times where I've made like, okay, $200 for this one nighter and another $250 for the one nighter after that. So that's $450. But of course, it's 9 hours to get to this fucking gig and then 9 hours back. Yeah. $10 an hour to drive. It's $180 minus $450. Now I'm making like fucking $270 for that fucking week. So with this, now $25,000 for the month, other comics, especially the comedians that have fucking families. You know, ones that are like, you know, like I'm still drowning and I have no idea how much more difficult this would be if I had a child. People are like, oh, you got kids? I'm like, I can't even take care of a fucking goldfish right now, let alone have a fucking child.
How's the goldfish doing?
Yeah, dead. fucking fourth one. So comics that have kids and families, those are like, they get $25,000 for the month and now they're not busting their asses for the fucking rest of the year.
All right, you know? Wrapping up.
No, we're wrapping.
Yeah. So that's the whole goal, is just to like be able to like give some comedians some fucking breathing room. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily fuck you money, but it's breathing room money where they don't have to kill themselves and like you don't have to like, oh, I have to work this fucking club where they don't turn the TVs off and it's some shitty casino. No, you can actually like, you know, take a break, pick and choose, and then like each month I'll bring 3 new comedians. My whole thing is like there's no more last comic standing, but there's still so many unknown masses out there waiting to be discovered. And that's what I want to do. I'm going to create a platform where comedians don't have to worry about canceled gigs. They don't have to worry about fucking check engine lights. They don't have to worry about flat tires, hotel rooms to pay for, you know, all that shit. So then after that, you just get a whole month to work. And nobody's the star of the show.
Yeah.
We all split the time. It's kind of like the fucking Kings of Comedy format. There's 4 comics all splitting the time. And that's how I think it should be, man.
Well, I like that, it. That's funny.
This sounds
that's
like
awesome.
This sounds like
yeah,
the,
yeah. You want to drive
like
the
99 Virgins kind of thing. I just got to run my boat into a fucking U.S. tanker.
You know what's funny? We just got the knock on the door from management. We're at the Orlando Improv that we got to wrap it up. And all I can say is if this was the Jeremy Piven podcast, we'd be allowed to stay as long as
we want.
Oh,
there you go. Hey, so you can,
no limit.
Hey, make sure you check out Pat started doing a podcast, which is Road Glory.
Yeah, you got the first
Glory
episode.
Just about all the people I had butt around the country.
Glory Road?
And that's
Glory Road, right?
Road Glory.
Road Glory.
Road Glory.
Check out his podcast, Road Glory. Mike and Kermit do the obligatory podcast.
Yep.
This is the Lima Criteria. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.
Take care.
Later.
A PFT Media production.